All right, today we get to wrap it all up on America's pastime. We've talked a lot about this over the past several weeks, but today I want to talk to you about being better together. Being better together. You know, there's lots of great pairs out in the world today. Y'all help me with this. We have peanut butter and jelly. We have cake and ice cream. Batman and Robin. Some of you are good. Bert and Ernie. Mario and Luigi. My son loves Mario right now, and so we're all about Mario, Luigi, Yoshi. All those people. I don't know. Bacon and eggs. That's my favorite one right there. Bacon and eggs. Anyway, Han Solo and Chewbacca. See, not as many people know that one. Like, we had one for our service that said Chewbacca. A movie and popcorn. I almost gave you the answer to that. But there's lots of good things out in the world, but lots of things are better with something else. And I believe that that's the way we are as well. We are made for relationships. We are made to be together, and I believe that we are better together. And so in this series, just kind of review, we've talked about America's pastime. Is God your passion, or is He your pastime? And we've talked about the difference of those. We talked about the passion of Christ. What was it that was burning on the inside of Jesus that made Him go to the cross to die for us when He didn't deserve it? We've talked about how to ignite the passion in our hearts again. The first one we talked about was, what are you feeding yourself? What is it that you're putting on the inside of? Are you feeding yourself to get the results that you want? You know, if you want to slim down and get stronger, you know, you got to feed yourself certain things. You can't eat bacon and eggs every day and cake and ice cream and all those things, but you got to feed yourself the right things. And spiritually, it's the same way. If you want to be strong spiritually, you got to feed yourself the right things. Last week, we asked the question, do you remember God's faithfulness? Do you remember what God's done for you in the past? And all of those are on the website if you want to go back and listen to those. And so today we're going to continue on how to ignite the passion in our hearts. And we're going to ask the question is, who are you connected with? Who are you connected with? What relationships do you have? Originally, I was going to be talking about prayer. How's your connection with God? But God changed that on me Friday. And so this is what we came up with instead. And so better together. I believe that our relationships can determine our passion in our life, because there's times in my life when I feel the passion of God going away, and you know, I kind of get in those times where everything's just kind of blah, you know, and there's certain people that I call during those times that light the passion on the inside of me again. You know, I'll call Stephen Sexton, and, you know, if you know him at all, you know how challenging he is. And he's like, all right, how's your relationship with God right now? What are you reading? How's your relationship with your wife right now? And he'll just grill me and, like, get me thinking about things, and he'll encourage me and get me going back in the right direction. And we all need people like that in our lives, people that will challenge us, people that we can go to and that we know that they can stir us up in life. And so we need those people in our lives. And I want to start off with a story that we find in 1 Samuel chapter 14. And this is the story of Jonathan and his armor bearer. And most of the time when we start talking about Jonathan, who else are we talking about? David, right? David and Jonathan, they were big buddies in the back in his time. Jonathan protected him from the king King Saul, who was his father. And we see that great relationship. But here we see a story of Jonathan and his armor bearer. And we see this relationship that these two people had in this situation. It's kind of a fun little story. You see how crazy people were back in the Old Testament. You know, they were crazy back then, right? All right. And so to set up the story, Israel is at war with the Philistines. And they are sitting on opposite mountains, with a valley in between them, and it's kind of just one of those times they're just kind of sitting and waiting for one or the other to make a move. And so here's where we pick up the story in 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 1. It says, one day Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come, let's go over to where the Philistines have their outpost. But Jonathan didn't tell his father what he was doing. Meanwhile, Saul and the 600 men were camped out on the outskirts of Gibba around the pomegranate trees of Migron. And there's a bunch of names and stuff in here that I don't care to try to pronounce today. So we're going to skip over those to the end of verse 3. So no one realized that Jonathan had left the Israel camp. I tried to do in first service and it was awful. Verse 4. To reach the Philistine outpost, Jonathan had to go down. Before we read on, imagine this. Okay, these two people are at war. Saul has 600 men. The Philistine army is on the other thing. And, you know, they're just kind of waiting. You know, and Jonathan was sitting around one day kind of bored. He's like, hey, let's go check out the Philistine army. Let's go over there and see what God wants to do today. And so, you know, it's kind of like he's a little bit crazy, I think. Because you don't just go two people to go fight an army. Okay, verse 4. To reach the Philistine outpost, Jonathan had to go down between two rocky cliffs. And they named all their cliffs too, apparently. Two rocky cliffs called Bozez and Sina. The cliff on the north was the front of Michmash, and the one to the south was Gibba. He said, let's go across to the outpost of the pagans, Jonathan said to his armor bearer. Perhaps the Lord will help us, for nothing can hinder the Lord, and he can win a battle whether there's many warriors or only a few. Now, if you're Jonathan's armor bearer, how do you respond to this? Jonathan, you're nuts, all right? Okay, and that's not what he said. He said, do what you think is best, the armor bearer replied. I'm with you completely, whatever you decide. Crazy, crazy. All right. Verse 8. All right then, said Jonathan. We will cross over and let us see. If they say to us, stay where you are or we'll kill you, then we'll stop and not go up with them. It says, but if they say, come on up and fight, then we will go up. That will be the Lord's sign that he will help us defeat them. And so when the Israelites saw them coming, they shouted, look, the Hebrews are crawling out of their holes. Then the men from the outpost shouted to Jonathan, come on up here and we'll teach you a lesson. So that was the sign that God is with them, right? Come on, climb right behind me, Jonathan said to his armor bearer, for the Lord will help us defeat them. So they climb up using both their hands and their feet. So they're rock climbing up the side of this mountain to go fight this battle. The Philistines fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer killed those who came from behind. And they killed as many as some 20 men in all, and their bodies were scattered over half an acre. Suddenly panic broke out in the Philistine army, in both the camp and in the field, including the outpost and the raiding parties. And just then an earthquake struck and everyone was terrified. So here you see this interesting little story about these two crazy people in the middle of a battle, deciding to go take on the Philistines by themselves. And so they got the sign from God, yes, I'm with you. And so they go up there and climb. And I love this scene. He says, Jonathan killed the ones in the front and the armor bearer killed the ones in the back. So here we see this scene that they're standing back to back and fighting. See, I feel like lots of times in our life that we realize that we are in a battle. That we do have an enemy that's trying to kill us. And sometimes we find ourselves fighting alone. And I don't think that is good. But see, we need to have people like Jonathan's armor bearer that'll stand back to back with us and fight this fight. Because we can't do it alone. We're not made to do it alone. If we try to go at it by ourselves, we will fail. And so today we're talking about better together. Who are you connected with in your life? Who is it that you have in your life that you can go to when the battle is raging and they've got your back? That they're going to say, all right, let's fight. Let's do this thing. Do you have those kind of people in your life? Do you have those people that you can call on and you know that no matter what's going on, they've got you. They're there with you. They're going to encourage you. They're going to pray with you. They're going to do those things and fight the fight with you. I believe we all need these kind of people in our life. See, if Jonathan would have gone alone, no one would have had his back and he would have died that day. But because he had somebody that was willing to fight the fight with him. They survived that day. In fact, they defeated the Philistines that day, and they chased them off from that point, and the battle raged on elsewhere. But we see in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, it says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other person can reach out and help them. But if someone falls alone, they're in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. But two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better. A triple braided cord is not easily broken. See, we were made for relationship. We were made to need each other and to support each other. And see, that's the beauty of what the church is supposed to be about, is that we know that we struggle. We know that we fight against sin and that we have an enemy and we have all of this coming against us. And part of the purpose of the church is so that we can come together to support each other and to fight each other's battles and to be there for each other. But a lot of times people don't find that in church. Why is that? Why are we so afraid of relationship? Why are we so afraid of getting real with each other? Why is it that we think we have to come to church and put our best mask on that shows that we have it all together, our kids are perfect and they never fight, and that it's been a lovely morning? And how many of y'all, when y'all come to church this morning, your kids fought the whole way and you were like squatting and you were, I mean, it was just like all out war, then you walk into church, good morning, everybody. God bless you. It's funny how that always happens on Sunday morning, right? It's like the kids just don't act right. You know, you have your fight on Sunday morning. But see, we need to be able to come to church and be real. You know, to know that, you know, when someone walks in the door and you see mom like, good morning, we're here. Go to class, you know. We know, like, hey, we love you, you know, hey, we know it's been a tough morning, let's pray for you. How can we help you today? How can we make your life better today? We're better together. We're not meant to fight life's battles alone. But what can we do to help each other? What is it that we can do to support each other? And what does that look like in real life? You know, we hear sermons like, yeah, we need to love each other. We need to pray for each other. And, you know, we'll post on Facebook, you know, pray for me, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But practically, what does it look like? How do we support each other? How can we be there for each other and to fight life's battles together? What can we do to help ignite the passion of God again in each other? Because let me tell you, you can't keep the passion going in your life all by yourself. But you got to have those people that you know, when you're down, you can look at them. You know, there are certain people. I always love seeing Jim Busby walk in the room, and he's got a big smile and he's like, good morning, God bless you, how's it going? I'm like, man, that just makes me smile. You know, that just makes my life better. You know, just to see someone who's excited today. You know, if you walk into church and everybody's like, good morning, you know, it's like, oh, did someone die in here or something? I mean, what's going on? I mean, you know, it needs to be, the church needs to be a place of celebration and a place where people can come and feel comfortable and knowing that they're not perfect. See, I've heard so many people say, well, I need to get my life cleaned up, then I'll go to church. No. That's why you come to church, to help, to find that help to get your life cleaned up. Because it takes Jesus, first of all. You can't clean up your life on your own. You have to have Jesus in your life, and you submitted to him, and he breaks the power of sin in your life, like we talked about last week, and all that he did for us on the cross. But then we come in together as family, as a church body, and that we can help each other to work through life's issues. So that's one thing I love about Celebrate Recovery, is that there's no pretense when you come in on a Friday night. I mean, it's like, you know, people know each other, people know their struggles, and there's this closeness. Like, even new people walking in, they walk in, it's like, man, I just kind of feel like I'm at home. There's just something comfortable here about this. And we've heard people, many, many people say that. It's like, I just felt like I came home. I felt like this is my family when I walked in the door. And I'm like, that's what church is supposed to be. That's what it's supposed to be about, is because we're better together. There's nothing worse than walking in a church and it's like walking into a funeral and you're just like, you don't want to move. You don't want to say anything. You're just like, okay, I'm here. Praise Jesus. You know, I mean, that's not what it's about. So how can we help each other out? And I believe there's several different levels of relationship that we need to have. And for some people, relationship's easy. And for some people, relationship is tough. I'm one of those. I'm a lot more guarded in relationships, and I struggle to open up in relationships. I don't know why. It's just part of who I am. And so for me, relationships are sometimes a struggle. For some people, you know, they just meet someone and they tell them their whole life story right off the bat, you know, and like you just know everything about them. You've met those people. They have no pretense about them. They're just going to lay it all out there. But there's different levels of relationships that I believe that we all need to have. And, you know, we even see this in the life of Jesus, that he had different levels of relationship of how much that he opened up to people and who he went to in certain times. Because we see him preaching to the multitudes. You know, he preached to the thousands, feeding the 5,000 and the 4,000. And he spoke to the crowds and he allowed them to come. And, you know, he spoke into their lives and he had that. You know, he had the 70. He had the 12. That was his close ones that were with him for all of his ministry. But even within the 12, he had the 3. And we see this exemplified, you know, right before he was about to go to the cross, you know, he went to the garden to pray. And, you know, and the biggest struggle that we see in the life of Jesus, you know, he's praying. It's like, God, if this cup can pass from me, you know, if I don't have to go to the cross, God, I want that to happen, God, but not my will, but yours be done. Who is in the garden with him? Here's the 3. The 3 were there with him. They fell asleep. They really didn't help him out any. He said, watch and pray, you know, so that you won't be given into temptation. But he brought the 3 with him. And so, you know, there's different levels of relationship that we all need to have, is that we need to have the 3. The 3 that know us. The 3 that knows our stuff. You know, the 3 that, you know, when life gets down, they can just look at you and like, yeah, okay, what's going on? You know, because a lot of times you can like put on a mask and like a lot of people don't know you're struggling. But there's certain people in your life, they just walk in the room like, whoa, what's going on? You know, they just can tell, they know. And we've got to have that in our lives, that those small relationships. And that's where I want to start talking about today, is that personal level relationship. And we see in James chapter 5 that he kind of addresses this. In verse 13, it says, for any of you suffering hardship, you should pray. Are you happy? Then you should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you and anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so you can kind of see some different things, like, you know, if you're struggling, you know, pray about that. You know, if you're happy, sing praises. But there comes to this level in our life, you know, are you sick? You know, okay, let's call some people in. Let's bring some other people in on this and let's fight together. Let's pray and let's get some support going on here. And so we see that right there. And it says, such prayer offered in faith will heal the sick and the Lord will make you well. And if you committed any sin, you'll be forgiven. Verse 16, listen to this. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. See, this is that personal, close relationship. See, he doesn't say, come in front of the church and confess all your sins to everybody and have everybody pray for you. That's not what he said here. He said, we need to find those people. Call some people together when we're struggling. Confess those sins. We got to have some people that we can go to, that we can trust. Someone that's not going to go blab all your stuff on Facebook if you confess sin to them. Oh, you know what they told me? Woo! You know, you got people like that in your life. You might be one. Never mind. But you need that close group of people that you can go to and just lay it all out. Guys, this is what I'm struggling with. This is my struggle in life. I need some help. Pray for me. Support me. Make me accountable. And we need that to where we can confess those sins and that we can pray for each other. And in that process, healing can happen. It's interesting that he combined healing with confession of sin and praying for each other. And that it's not something that we do on our own, but it's something that we do with a group of people that are close and that we can be there for each other and support. And we need that. The reason why you struggle with that sin so much is because you haven't confessed it and let God heal you yet. You don't have anybody praying for you. So you need to go find those people that you can trust and open up to them. Confess that sin. Allow the prayer to go. And let God bring healing into your life. See, I love one of the things that Miss Lynn Barber says. She calls these people your struggle buddies. We all need struggle buddies, don't we? Because we all struggle. And we need those people that we can call, that we can go to and be like, I got your back. Let's stand back to back. Let's fight this thing. Let's do this. We're going to win together. Because two fighting together can conquer. So there's the first level of relationship is that personal level. That one-on-one, that small group that we need. There's another level of relationship that we need in that it's more of a public level. It's what I call on the church level, to where we're reaching out to people, that we're using what God has given us to care for other people. We see in 1 Peter chapter 4, it says, in this world... I can't read that. That's not what that said. It says, the end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined. Be disciplined in your prayers. Most of all, continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who are in need of a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as if God Himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and the energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Christ Jesus. All glory and power to Him forever and ever. Amen. But I love this. It starts off, you know, we need to show deep love for each other because love covers a multitude of sin. See, that's why the church should be that safe place that you can come and it has the love there, because all of us have a multitude of sin, those things that we struggle with. Yes, Christ has broke the power of those in our life and we need to be trusting in Him for that, but we need to come and find that place of love so that we can begin the process of healing. But I love this. It says that we all have been given a gift from the great variety of spiritual gifts that God gives. If you speak, then speak. You know, if your gift is for helping others, then do it in the strength that God supplies. See, we all have gifts here in this church. See, God did not give you your gift, whatever that may be, to make you famous and to make you rich. But see, God gave us all gifts so that we can serve others and to make Him famous. See, it's sad to me that some of the most talented people in the world are using that talent that God gave them to make a name for themselves and to make money for themselves, when God intended that gift for them to bring glory to Him through that gift. But see, each and every one of us have a gift here in this church. And see, we are better together as we each use our gift. In the church setting, in the body of Christ, it's not for you. Your gift is not for you, but it's for me. See, God gave me a gift for you, and He gave your gift so that you can encourage me. See, our gifts are made to support each other and to make the church a whole body. Because as each of us are in our gifting and we're doing what we're supposed to do, then we'll all be supported. We'll all have that encouragement. We'll all have that, you know, those times You know, I love those times that we come into the presence of God and the worship team is up here and we're singing and we're worshiping. The presence of God shows up and that, you know, those are times that we can kind of catch our breath, you know, from the week. You know, it's those moments where we're stressed out and we just get in the presence of God and we're just like, yes, God. Then it's like the communication opens up and, you know, God's able to pour his love and his grace on us. And we're just like, yes, God, I hear you, God. God, come and refresh me. And in that moment, these people are using their gifts to help you. But see, each and every one of us have a gift. We all have a gift and it's all different. See, just as the body of Christ is diverse and all of that, God placed us together, this body, for a reason. See, you're not here by accident. I believe that God has placed you here because your gift is needed here. That you can use your gift to encourage and to support and to help the other people here in this church. And that the people of this church have the gifts that you need to help keep you going in life. To help your passion being stirred up. And that we all have a gift together. That as we all use our gifts together, that God will be glorified through this church. And that the church can be what it's supposed to be. The church is not supposed to be a morgue. But it's supposed to be a place where people can come and find love. And find grace. And find those moments where they can connect with God. And connect with people who love God and are there to support. We see this in Romans chapter 12 too. It says, in God's grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, then speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, then serve them well. If you're a teacher, then teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, then be encouraging. Man, we need encouragers. How many of y'all need encouragers in your life? We need the encouragers of the church to speak out and encourage. If your gift is giving, then give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take that responsibility seriously. And if he has given you the gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. See, that is what the church is supposed to look like. See, unity and love are supposed to be the trademark of the church. Because God is about unity and love. And unfortunately, you look at most churches and you don't see unity and love. See, I can't do anything about any other church except for the church that God's called me to, which is this one. And I want to encourage you guys that our church needs to be about unity and love. Truly love each other. Yeah, we have faults. Yeah, I mess up. I do stupid stuff sometimes. So do you. Let's be forgiving. Let's be loving towards each other. Let's rally around the calling that God's placed on this church into reaching out into this community and serving the lost, to serve the hurting, to serve those who are caught in addiction, and to serve those people. And let's love them. Let's do what God's called us to do. And in your gifting, you do it in your way. In my gifting, I do it my way. And as we all do what we're called to do in our gifting, then God is glorified and people come to know Jesus. That's what the church is about. That's what we need to be about. See, we don't need to be mad because someone sat in our chair or someone took our spot, our parking spot, or someone said something about our kid and they looked at us funny. See, what the devil tries to do, he tries to come and divide and conquer. And in so many churches, he's accomplished that because there's not grace, there's not unity, there's not that love. Let that not be said about Believers Community Church. Let us be forgiving towards one another. Because I've messed up and you've messed up, let's forgive. I've probably hurt your feelings, you probably hurt mine, let's forgive. Let's put all that aside. Let's not let Satan divide and conquer what God is trying to do. Because it comes down to us and our choices and what we want to do. Do we want to rally around the cause of bringing love and hope and healing to this community? Or do we want to get caught up in all the negative that can happen? See, guys, we're better together. And as we all band together and we fight together, then people will come to know Jesus. Listen to this. Jesus said this in John chapter 13, verse 33. He said, Dear children, says, I won't be with you. I will only be with you a little longer. And as I told the Jewish leaders, you will search for me, but you can't come where I'm going. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I've loved you, love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. See, people are looking for something real. They're looking for love. They're looking for grace. They're looking for everything that Jesus offers. He said that people will know, the world will know that you're my disciples when you truly love each other. Guys, let that be said about Believers Community Church. Let that be said about our church towards the other churches in the community, that we're not bashing other churches, that we're not talking bad about them because they don't believe like we do and they do this and they do that. Who cares? We're all part of the same body. We're all rallied around Jesus Christ and the cross. Let's love each other. Let's have those relationships to where we can stand back to back and we can fight. Let's have those relationships within the church where we serve each other, that we take what God's given us and serve each other and to encourage each other. And I believe that as we do that, as we all come together as one team, as one body, that the passion will be stirred. That people will look at our church, that they will look at your life and say, man, this person is passionate for God. There's something different about this person. They're not just a church goer, but they're a God lover. There's something different here. I want people to look at me and see God in me. Not just that I go to church and call myself a Christian. There's a difference. Surround yourself with people of passion. Surround yourself with people that you can go to and confess sin and pray for each other and support each other. And as we do, we will be better together. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Can I have my prayer team come forward? God, thank you for what you've done for us at the cross. God, thank you, God, that you provided everything we need at the cross. God, stir the passion in our hearts today. God, help us to realize that we're not an island, that we can't do this on our own, God, but we need each other. God, you made us for a relationship. God, you brought together this body. God, let this body be here to glorify you. God, and as we do that, God, that everyone will be lifted up. God, that everybody would be supported. God, I lift those up today that feel like they're struggling, that they're alone in their struggle, and that nobody understands. God, surround them with your love. God, surround them today with people, God, that can support and encourage and help walk them through. God, we all go through the valley of the shadow of death. God, but we don't have to fear the evil because you're with us. God, you surround us with people to help. God, let that be said about this body, that we love each other, that we're here for each other, God, and that we accept people. We thank you in Jesus' name. If you need prayer today, if you feel like you're alone today, if you feel like you're struggling, come. Come let these people pray for you and support you. Find people within our body that you can confess and that you can pray, because we need those relationships. Let's all stand together today. Let's worship today. And if you need prayer, come forward.